Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, June 20th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
I'm glad to have you back with me today. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, good afternoon. How you doing?
Excellent. And today, the first thing I want to discuss is all the plussing that's happening right now. We have TV Plus coming from Apple, and we have Disney Plus coming from Disney. And these are two streaming services that people are going to be very interested in later this year when they're actually released. So far, the only one we have a price on is Disney Plus, which it looks like is going to be $7 a month. And I assume there will be some sort of deals made with others so that maybe it's if you have some other subscription already, I think they're both going to do this. If you have some other subscription already, then you can add the TV Plus or the Disney Plus one for less than what it would be if you were just buying it by itself. Now, John, you wrote about this, and I thought you had an interesting take.
It all started with Andrew Orr's article about Apple jockeying for Academy Award winning content.
Lots of things start with Andrew.
New York Post article, but buried in the New York Post article that Andrew referred to was a gem. And I'll quote, unlike Disney, which has plans to launch a new streaming service this year, November 12th, Apple lacks a library of content that consumers can rifle through when they're done watching the new stuff and has been, boldface, internally debating whether to acquire one, a well-placed source said. So the issue is...
Sorry, I'm just laughing at John having to give us his font.
So the issue here is, for starters, is pricing.
Yes. You know,
Apple Music is $10 a month. Apple charges $10 a month for Apple News Plus. No price has been declared for Apple Arcade, but we're expecting $10 a month for that. Yeah. Movies and TV shows are probably considered more valuable than songs and news. And I surmise that Apple would probably want to charge a little bit more than $10 a month, on par with Amazon and Netflix.
Well, we haven't seen anything yet about any sort of bundle pricing from Apple.
No, but let me just get to the price point issue.
Yeah.
So if Apple wanted to charge a little bit more, now Disney has blown them out of the water with the $6.99 charge a month and a magnificent portfolio. I mean, you know, they've got
Disney princesses,
everything.
They've got Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm, National Geographic, and the Disney, all the Disney property. So
including the princesses.
Frozen. Yay, Frozen.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So this kind of blows up Apple's value and price proposition. Not a lot of content. And probably an idea that they should charge a premium price just kind of messes with Apple's mind. And so that New York Post article rings kind of true to me that Apple needs to flesh out its content in a hurry. They can't afford to spend years developing an original content.
No.
One of the targets is Sony Pictures, according to Variety.
Yeah, I totally agree with this. The biggest issue Apple's had ever since it created and announced it was going to do TV Plus was the content. And then, as John rightly says, Disney has walloped it with its price point. Because we know...
Disney's been smart about acquiring content.
Look, Disney...
because they just keep buying it, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay, but Disney, look, Disney is a media company. Disney knows the game, and it is, you know, okay, so it bought Marvel, it bought Pixar. Like, why wouldn't you if you're a media company?
Well, you know, years ago, there was, before you came on board, Charlotte, there was a lot of discussion, you may have seen it in the UK, about how Apple should have bought Disney maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I remember these conversations.
Steve Jobs was on the board of directors at Disney at the time.
Because of Pixar.
Yeah. So that would have been a coup.
Yeah.
I mean, now, can you imagine? That would have been a pretty phenomenal double act, but now they're rivals. Look, if you gave me the choice of which one to spend £10, $10 on, I'm going Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect I'm not the only one.
No. I don't have anything yet from Apple that makes me want to do it. Now, the interesting move, like lots of people are talking about Sony right now, but I can't think of a Sony property off the top of my head because I don't think they have James Bond anymore. So when you talk about franchises, Sony doesn't have much because I think there's the deal with the X-Men is changing now and I don't quite know what that means for everything there. So I can't think of Sony movies that are like,
Kelly, it might be Kelly. They're the only one left on the table for Apple to snap up.
But what about Paramount and CBS? Like, what if there was some way they could write a big fat check and get like all access under the Disney umbrella or under the Apple umbrella? I mean, because then like Disney would have Star Wars and Apple would have Star Trek.
That brings up the idea of a signature series for mm-hmm. your portfolio. Yeah.
So I'm trying to work out what I think here, because part of me thinks it's very un-Apple to... Apple has sometimes bought its way out of a problem, mm-hmm. but it hasn't always done that. Sometimes it has seen a problem and come a bit later, but dealt with the problem in-house, right? Is that a fair comment?
Sounds fair, yeah.
And the only major purchase, particularly in the entertainment media type space, is Beats. It's the only purchase, really, of Apple in that space, isn't it? So the idea that Apple is suddenly going to buy another media company seems very out of character to me.
Well, we've always had that meme that Apple doesn't buy companies that are culture clash, where they can't gracefully merge into the culture, because trying to manage another company with Apple standards from a distance is a little difficult, and bringing them into the company is always difficult because of the culture clash. So
plus you have all of that. Look, I thought it was very notable the other day. I wrote a story that J.J. Abrams has signed a massive deal, but it's not with Apple.
Right.
You know, Apple is missing out on some of these big guys. Now, it doesn't mean they cannot pull off TV Plus. I'm not saying that. Hold your letters.
Well, I think
send your angry tweets to John instead.
According to the New York Post, there's been some internal debate about Apple. There may have been people who were steadfast that Apple should build all its own original content.
Right.
And that probably slowed down the initiative to acquire content externally. And they may have only lately come to the realization that Disney has really messed with them in terms of the extent of the library.
I think that's quite possibly true. But also, look, we know, we've heard stories of Tim Cook and other senior Apple executives kind of meddling in the content. They want it to be very Apple-type content, which unfortunately might mean it's a bit bland. As I say, J.J. Abrams signed a massive deal with Warner Media, not Apple, even though he's producing stuff for Apple, appeared at the It Showtime event. There seem to be a few things that Apple are missing out on.
Yes.
Now, is that? I don't think that's because they're not taking TV Plus seriously, but I think it might be because they don't quite. I think they've stepped into a new industry that they don't quite know how to deal with. Like, there's a lot to learn. It's a whole new game they're entering into,
and it's also an unknown.
Privacy. I think Apple's focus on privacy and security has sort of made them feel like they're taking the high road. And this article that Andrew wrote about how they're lobbying for Academy Awards at a very early stage, maybe that mentality has steered them away from pandering to, you know, the lowest common denominator with their content, even if it means great ratings.
That's but fun, I don't think you have to do that. There's a third way through that. Like, you don't have to have high-minded content, and then you don't have to have less high-minded but super popular content. Like,
absolutely
not anymore, right? Like,
but
I mean,
you have to have content that people are going to spend $9.99 a month on,
right? And I think the bigger issue
that's what it ultimately boils down to.
Yeah, and to your point, Charlotte, talking about a big new thing, I think part of it is that Warner Media is a known quantity when it comes to movies and whatnot. I mean, Harry Potter.
Don't stop.
No, I'm just super distracted right now. It's okay. I won't pick up my phone while we're recording. But Warner Media is a known quantity, so why wouldn't J.J. Abrams sign a deal with a company that has history and you know, more of a track record, and then do a little something over here with Apple, who's the unknown at this moment? Right, well, only at this moment. Now, they've made media deals before. They've done TV stuff. They've done movie stuff. They've done music stuff. We've seen it all. It's been reasonably successful to varying levels of success, you know, whatever that means. But they're not losing money on any of that. And so making the jump to original content is the part that's going to be tricky. And yep. That's the thing that I wonder about, because honestly, I understand they got Oprah and they got Big Bird. And they got Steven Spielberg, and I understand that. But each of those is like a one-shot thing. And like Ron exactly. Moore's sci-fi show, however awesome it is one thing. And then what? And that's the thing that I've been asking all along, is then what? And I'm still going to put out there.
What I've been asking all along is that J.J. Abrams may have got a taste of working with Apple on the Sarah Bareilles project.
Oh, he could have, and maybe he's done.
I wonder if
J.J. Abrams described Apple as the Wild West. Now, he kind of meant it in both a good way and a bad way.
Yeah.
He was talking about the freedom he gets as well.
Yeah.
But so, look, it's clearly a shock to the system for everyone involved. Yeah. And that is, I think, part of the issue that John is alluding to, actually, that Apple, it doesn't know the rules of the game, right? Mm-mm. And so Disney does, and Disney has beaten it. I would say, you know, $6.95, the full Disney catalog. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can't come in at $7 a month and give me, I mean, how much of my childhood is that, really?
How can Apple face this down? Because they got $10 a month for Apple News and $10 a month for Apple Music. And now this rich portfolio of Sony Pictures plus all the Apple original content is going to go for $6.99 a month.
Okay.
Now, nobody's going to sign off on that.
If I had a bell, John, I would ring it right now. And the reason is, I don't think they're interested in Sony. I think
I'm just giving that as an example of how they have to meet that price.
Right. Well, I'm going to stake out that it's going to be all access. I think the CBS Paramount catalog, because there's a whole lot there. And I think that, because if they go for anything, I think they're going to go for that. I don't think it's going to be Sony. So if they go for the CBS Paramount catalog, it's going to be something where it's a license deal. So for $5 a month, you can have just CBS All Access. But for $7 or $8 a month, you get everything that Apple wants to give you, plus all the CBS stuff or something like that. And I think that at least for the first while, if you subscribe to anything from Apple, like they'll give anybody a 3-month trial, we'll say. But it's $6 if you already have Apple Music or News Plus or Arcade or anything like that.
It's a clever bundling operation. Can right? buy them time.
It's just a gimme. It'll be like they'll be sort of taking a page from Amazon's book at that point, I think. If you have a Prime subscription, we're just going to give you Prime Music. We're just going to give you Prime Video. So I think that's what they will end up doing. If you have a subscription now, if you have news, we'll give you TV. If you have music, we'll give you TV for six months just to see what you think.
Their price for Apple TV Plus alone is lower. Bury that fact. By bundling cleverly.
Right. And I think if they do that, it will make a lot more people a lot more inclined to take a closer look at it in the future. We'll have to see. Yeah.
I'm sitting here nodding because I think there's two points, because I know we want to move on. We've got other stuff to discuss, but there's two kind of final points I want to make on this. And one was the bundling issue. I think we haven't heard how Apple is going to offer us Apple News, Apple Arcade, and Apple TV Plus, never mind Apple Music, iTunes, whatever, right. as a bundle. And I think that's going to be crucial, and they've got to do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The other point I would make is Netflix started with the catalog. They just got stuff, didn't they?
Yes.
It wasn't always great. It certainly wasn't original content, but they got stuff, so there was value, so that when people turned on Netflix having paid their first $9.99 or whatever, mm-hmm. there was stuff there to watch.
Right. Oh, that TV show. I haven't seen that in a long time. Right, or, oh, hey, exactly. I never did see that movie when it came out.
And Apple has taken the totally opposite way of doing it. And that's, look, we'll see which one pays off. But at the moment, Netflix is in a place where it's spending about $15 billion a year on original content. And Apple is spending $1 billion. And one of them has the catalog. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting. When we learn more, we will tell you all about it. We are very interested in talking about this, and especially how it compares to Disney Plus, because I think at least on this show in particular, there's two people that are kind of looking forward to subscribing to it. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, am I going to be able to get Disney Plus here in the UK?
That's a good question. We should find that out. Not yet. You know. I mean, we have until November. We'll find out what the rollout looks like soon, I imagine.
Because I'm fairly sure TV Plus, I mean, I don't even have News Plus here at the moment.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Because that'll be interesting. Right. Another interesting thing is, Charlotte, you wrote up something just a little while before we started the show about Apple and China.
Yes, well, it's a bit of an ongoing theme. I've been looking at it for the last couple of days. So yesterday, Wednesday, the Nikkei Asian Review reported that Apple was looking to move 30% of its output from China, up to 30%. They said between 15 and 30%. They were looking at places where they could move to in Southeast Asia and Mexico. And, you know, because the tensions and between the US and China over trade don't seem to be showing any signs of going away, there's a risk of escalation. Apple is trying to diversify where it is. And then today we have published a letter from Apple to US Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. He's basically saying, don't you dare let the president put in the tariffs he's threatening. All you're doing is helping Huawei, basically. That is the TLDR version. I mean, the letter, if you want me to read a couple of paragraphs from it, is pretty on the nose. It says, US tariffs on Apple's products would result in a reduction of Apple's US economic contribution. I think Brian said to us when we were talking before that Apple is basically the biggest US taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not mucking around when they make that point. And it says, US tariffs would also weigh on Apple's global competitiveness. The Chinese producers we compete with, i.e. Huawei, in global markets do not have a significant reach in the US market and so would not be impacted by US tariffs. Neither would our other major non-US competitors. A US tariff would therefore tilt the playing field in favor of our global competitors. Basically, we pay a load of tax. Don't you dare screw us over.
Yes. And that's valid. I mean, that, like, it's...
Right.
It's a thing that needs to be considered. I feel like, you know, that's a thing that people aren't really talking about. You know, they were talking about, you know, if trade relations break down with Mexico, we're not going to have avocados anymore. Like, you kind of have to put things in a little more perspective sometimes. And I think... Right. The cheapest iPhone is suddenly going to be $1,500. It's a really good way to put that in perspective for people.
Sure. Never mind how much it's going to cost people. But Apple also points out in its letter that it's responsible for over 2 million jobs in all 50 states.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a huge employer in a lot of places. Yeah, by the time you figure in Apple retail and everything else.
And of course, you start looking at the Apple supply chain and the kind of ripple effect of all of that. I mean, that's one that's, I imagine, a lot of senators and congressmen in general who are going, oh my God, how many jobs in my patch is this going to cost me?
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, is a lot of people going, how is this going to cost me my job? People that work for Apple.
Yeah.
Like... This is serious stuff.
Yeah. And I think part of that might go hand in hand with something, John, that you mentioned the other day when we were talking about, I think we were talking about Tim Cook and making moves he was making at Apple. And one of those was to sit down and be part of the technology council and continue to have meetings with the administration in order to... continue to build that relationship and sort of make things more clear and sort of, you know, get Apple's agenda kind of, you know, in front of the administration and think about it. And so I'm hopeful that something like this, you know, is part of what was made clear when they were having those conversations. So hopefully,
I'm sure it was.
Hopefully, it's something that
no
is
doubt
being considered.
That tariffs and trade were on the agenda of that meeting. Because Tim Cook met with President Trump the other day, and there is absolutely no doubt this was on the agenda.
Right, and that's what I mean. Is, you know, we brought up that conversation briefly when in something we were discussing recently, and that was part of. And this sort of underscores that this goes hand in hand with that meeting. Like, you know, they probably needed to have that meeting in order to explain this and get face to face with somebody and say, like, on a practical level, this is what's going to happen. And I think sometimes, you know, it's hard to listen to some of this stuff because it sounds a little nebulous. Like, there will be tariffs on a thing and that, you know, and like not really understanding what that means and being able to put that in more concrete terms, like, the least expensive iPhone we will be able to sell is going to be $1,500 or more. You know, it's going to be a $2,000 phone this time. And, you know, I don't know. But being able to put it in real life terms for something that's going to actually affect people in a concrete way is something that, you know, tends to make it a little easier to kind of have that conversation because people wrap their head around it. You know, people who aren't necessarily policy nerds or, you know, economics nerds who dig into this stuff all the time and it's a language that they totally speak. Like for someone like me, you know, putting tariffs in perspective, that's a good way to do that, right? I like avocados. I don't put them on toast, but I like avocados. So if avocados are going to double in price, that's a thing I understand. Or the iPhone is going to double in price this September. That's a thing I understand. And it makes it a lot easier to discuss than it, you know, when you actually have sort of an object lesson in making that reality. So what do you think, John? Do you think...
Well, international politics makes my head hurt. There's so much going on. So many interests at stake, so many global complexities. We talked the other day, I think we talked about the issue of rare earth elements.
Yeah.
That China exports to the United States and how they, in the past, according to the 60 Minutes episode, have cut off Japan's supply of rare earth elements in an international incident. And so it makes my head hurt thinking about all of the complexities of Apple's business and connections with China and tariffs. I'm going to just leave it to the pros.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of it all.
Yeah. I don't know what conclusion to draw, but I do know that, I hope there is one. I hope it gets resolved and I hope that it goes in consumers' favor. So that's all I've got on that one. Really. I'm with you, John. It's a whole lot of plates to spin at the same time. And I don't feel like I'm up for it most of the time, which is why the object lesson is really important. So
I'd rather talk about Mac Pros.
You see, but that's a really interesting point, isn't it? We would all rather talk about the shiny thing. Like, we'd much rather continue our conversation about Disney, right?
Yes.
Because Disney's much more fun. But this is the stuff that matters. This is the kind of cogs that keep the machine whirring, right?
Yeah.
And so if we are, and our listeners and readers, if we're all going kind of understandably, oh my god, what is going on, I can't deal with this anymore, which is, like I say, a pretty understandable response to politics. Hey, I'm in the UK at the moment. That is really a reasonable response to global and international politics. But if we do that, suddenly we, like you say, you get the $2,000 iPhone and wonder why. You get Apple, you know, your friend who works for Apple or in the Apple store suddenly doesn't have a job anymore. And why has that happened? You know, this stuff has a real life impact on real people. Mm-hmm. And we need to get our head around it.
Yeah. And when we find out more about that, we'll be here to tell you about it. So, definitely it's a complex issue. And when we find out more, we hopefully will be able to break it down for you in a useful fashion. Charlotte's piece is a very good read for, seeing a little bit more about, how all these pieces fit together. So, go check it out. And, I would like to thank both of you for being here today. John, thanks so much for coming by.
You're welcome.
Charlotte, thanks so much for giving up part of your afternoon to sit with us.
Thanks. I'm off to watch some Disney films now.
Start with Sleeping Beauty, always.
Nice. Nice.
You're welcome to join Charlotte and I on our future Disney Princess podcast, which is absolutely going to have to happen once we both have Disney
Plus. That's happening now. I mean,
yeah.
That's obviously happening right now.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.